I know many come into Christianity thinking that, wow, I'm here, I've arrived, I'm over the fight, I finally come to Jesus. Whew. Now I can sit down and just ride the easy. It's easy going to be an easy life right now. But I'm just telling you, that is not even close to true. I don't know where that came in. I will tell you this, that all of it will be worth it, that you will be blessed and you will be turned into something that you never could have been on your own. But I just want to tell you, church, you're in a fight, but you're in a fight for good stuff right now. When I first came to know the Lord, I'm just to be honest with you. I was in the back room of the cable office one day, and I was going through so much pressure. And I finally told the Lord, I said, Lord, I was happy in the world. I was in the bars and I was happy. Since I came to know you, it has been nothing but a fight and pressure. And I told him that. And I just didn't understand this. I just thought, hey, I come to know Jesus, I'm set free, da-da-da, life's going to be wonderful, I'm going to be filled with peace, joy, and love. And it isn't. It was an absolute fight. And I want you to know that, so that you're not, that it doesn't mess with you when you're going through certain things, to just sit and think, well, isn't this supposed to be wonderful? You're fighting. I'm going to say this also. You're not just fighting for nothing. You're fighting for amazing things. And I'll tell you just some of the things that the fight are going to be around. Number one, you are being changed from that person when you came in to another person. You're being renewed and changed. And there is a massive transformation going on the inside of you. You've made agreements with the kingdom of darkness in the past, and God is having you confront those things, which causes pressure. It's not fun, causes pressure, so that you will now, with the light inside of you, break those agreements and come into agreement with His things. So that's a pressure, and we don't like being confronted with those things. And we would like for God to just roll out a piece of paper and go, if you want to break that agreement, sign right here and sign here that you agree with my way. But that's not the way He does it. He brings us face to face with those things. He can't do it that way. He's got to bring us face to face with those things so that we, without compulsion, without Him pushing us, break those agreements. So, man, I just will say this to you. I had things attached to me from the enemy from my past life. And those things just don't go, shoot, dadgummit, we lost. All right, guys, pack up your bags, pack up all the evil stuff we intended for him. Let's go. He came to know Jesus. He didn't do that. The enemy wants you back. He was your dad. He was your master. You were his slave, and he wants you back. He wants to be able to talk through you. He wants to be able to act through you. And so all of this produces in us pressure, times that don't feel the most joyful. And I'm just telling you, it's a fight. I even want to say this. I've heard people say this. You know what? If that's all church is about, I'm not going to do it. Well, I want to say this to you. You tell me an organization that is worth fighting for more than what God has set up for us. Yeah, you might be fighting for a brother or sister. You might be fighting for you. And you might be fighting for a system that God has. You might be being prepared for the kingdom. And I just want you to know this. Papa's not handing his kingdom out to untested people. He wants to see what really comes out of you when you're under pressure. And so he allows it. I'm telling you this, that I didn't understand it way back then. Why do I have this pressure on me? It just feels like I can't even hardly think. Why do I have this pressure on me? And now I look back and I go, oh, I had that pressure on me so that I could get used to the pressure, look at the pressure and say, oh, it's only you, and go back to sleep. Because right now, you can't hardly pressure me. How did I get here? From going through that. Was it pleasant going through it? No. Is it nice not having to give in to every pressure now? Absolutely. It's a wonderful life. I now know why he told me I was going to have peace and joy that doesn't end, because I have it. I didn't used to. And so I want you to know that this fight you're in, dude, you're in a fight for your life right now. And I want you to know this, that the enemy would like to fight to get you to renounce the very special gift that you are to the kingdom. He'd love to get you out of place. He'd love to take that thing that was planted in you from the time you were put in this earth, and he'd like to use that for his kingdom. He'd like to get you to say jealous things, hateful things, and he would like to turn you into a weapon for him, and he's not giving up easy. He's going to come after your gift and who you are. He's going to come after your very life, your peace on this earth, and your salvation. He's coming after you. And I want to just say this also. Growing as a Christian, it's hard work sometimes. I've had to realize that. There's never a time that I let down as a Christian. I've wanted to. My laziness has caused me to want to just go, oh God, but it's up to my Father to give me times of refreshing. And so 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 says this, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called and about which you were, which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. The Greek word for fight literally means to contend for a prize, to go through a struggle for a prize. That's what that means. I'm contending, not just as I'm fighting in the air. This isn't for no reason. I'm contending. I'm fighting the good fight. I'm contending for a prize. And where in the Greek word for take hold literally means get a firm enough grip on it that it can't be pulled out of your hands. To take hold. That means I've got such a... I'm just telling you, church. I have felt the pull of the enemy wanting to pull things from my hand. But I chose not to let go. I didn't care where I had to go, how embarrassing, humiliating, it didn't matter. I was holding on so tight to what he had called me to that he could take that rope and lead me anywhere he wanted. Take hold. Get a firm enough grip on it that it can't be pulled out of your hands. Grab a hold. You have got something special on the inside of you. Grab a hold of that. I want to say this also. I believe that today's world, I hear other people, I hear Jordan Peterson say it. I hear people say that our education system is set up to take the masculinity out, to take the fight out. Our whole world out there is set up to where if you do stand up for something, you're opposed so bad. I've heard people say, I'm done with Facebook because every time I get on Facebook, I even try to even say something and I've got everybody and their dog throwing something down my throat, mad at me and all that. And you know what? I'm just telling you, as somebody that is going to have a voice in this world, I've had to get used to that because I don't like it. I just didn't wake up and go, I hope I make about 30 people mad at me today. I hope when I say something, I have people standing up and they are just trashing me. I don't want to. I'm going to be honest with you also. Leroy Thompson wrote a book, okay? He wrote a book about money. It's called Money Cometh to the Body of Christ. And when he wrote that, I watched him be attacked. That what Andrew said in his dream, I watched the religious signs pop up trying to say, oh, he's taking people the wrong way. Oh, he was given a word for the body of Christ. And you know what? The Lord told me he's a pastored a little bitty church down south. And God used him. And I was like, God, why didn't you use somebody that people know? And the Lord said, nobody would say what he's willing to say. And then the Lord asked me this. He said, will you be willing to say things that are revelation, even if you get attacked for them? And at the time I said, God, I wouldn't say that what he's saying. Look at what's happening. People are attacking him. But you know what? Right now, I was kind of wimpy and cowardly back then. I didn't want the fight. But I realized that I'm not going to avoid the fight if I'm going to do anything for my Heavenly Father. And right now, I told God the other day, you tell me it, and I'll say it. I don't care whether people like it or they don't like it. I'm standing up, and you can bring them on, religious world, because I am not backing away to see people set free and walk free in their gifts. You can throw all the religious crap at me that you want, and I'll defend them walking out in the Spirit and maybe not doing it just perfectly or according to your religious ways. I'm going to watch people get really free instead of just scared of you trying to condemn them, and that's why they're walking right. That's not free. Amen? And so the issue of a fight, I'm just telling you, one of the things that I liked about the boys playing football is that you've got to go to a certain place in your mind to go out on that field and to want to hit somebody head on, knowing that it's going to hurt. I do wish right now that I would have taken them to some type, there wasn't a lot back then, like there is now, to some type of MMA training. You say, you want them to be violent? I want them to be capable of violence. I don't want them to be violent. And I learned this from this next video. It's about a minute long. This is Jordan Peterson when he was asked about, hey, you know, do you think it's good for kids, for people to be violent? And this is what he said. It's so good.
By dangerous, that implies I should be ready to threaten someone, to hurt somebody.
No, you should be capable of it. But that doesn't mean you should use it. There's nothing to you otherwise. Like, if you're not a formidable force, there's no morality in your self-control. If you're incapable of violence, not being violent isn't a virtue. People who teach martial arts know this full well, right? If you learn a martial art, you learn to be dangerous, but simultaneously you learn to control it. Both of those come together. And the combination of that capacity for danger and the capacity for control is what brings about the virtue. Otherwise, you confuse weakness with moral virtue. I'm harmless, therefore I'm good. It's like, no, that isn't how it works. That isn't how it works at all. If you're harmless, you're just weak. And if you're weak, you're not going to be good. You can't be, because it takes strength to be good. It's very difficult to be good.
Dude, was that about a mouthful in a minute? That's good stuff, isn't it? We're going down to see him tomorrow down in Tulsa. He's in Tulsa. We're going down to see him tomorrow. Yep, not personally, like meet him, but we're going down to listen to him. But I like that. I want people to get ready to fight. You know, I'm just telling you, most of the time when people come to me and they're like, Pastor Rob, this and this and this is going on, I said, beat the crap out of it. That seems like such a simple thing, but I want people to get ready and let's go at it. Don't let that thing just bowl over you. Don't let that fear just run you and rule you. And you know what? I will tell you, there is something in being raised. I'm not suggesting you go get in a fight, but from being in fights, it makes you, even in my mindset, I'm not afraid to walk into it. Even at my age, if I am pressed, I'd walk away from it. I try and talk my way out of it. But I'm telling you that if somebody cornered me, I would still fight. I'm not telling you I'd win. I remember when I was a little kid, I asked the Lord one time. I go through and I was asking him, Lord, it seems like you've been with me all through my life. And it seems like there were different pivotal places where I didn't know I was making choices even before I knew you. And I made a choice, and I feel you, Holy Spirit, bringing that up to me, that meant something. And one time I was pondering these things, and I remembered back when me and my sister used to go out and visit my grandma in Denver. And there was a playground close to where my grandma lived. And at this time, you know, you never would send, I don't even know how old I was, probably 10 or so. My sis was a year younger than me, 9 or 10 or so. I wasn't very old, and you know, you wouldn't send 9 and 10-year-olds out to play on a playground by themselves, but especially in Denver, but we did back then, and it was okay. And I remember that I was playing, and there was a boy that was quite a bit older than me. He's at least 2 or 3 years older, and when you're 10, 2 or 3 years, that's a pretty sizable difference. And I remember he was mocking or teasing my sister. I remember she looked over at me, and I saw in her face, "Would you make him stop?" And I remember in my mind going through, "He's bigger than I am. Like, what am I going to do? I don't." And I remember making the decision, as a 10-year-old, I don't care. You're not doing that to my sister. I don't care what you do to me. You're not doing that to my sister. And I remember walking up and saying, "Hey, that's my sister right there, and I don't want you to tease her anymore." Ready for the kid to just like throw me through the fence. And he said, "Oh, okay," and turned and walked off. And the Lord brought that back to my mind, and he kept bringing it. This was a number of years back, and it kept coming back to my mind. And I was going, "Okay, is there something important in that?" And the Lord said, "I was seeing what was in your heart, whether you're valiant and you're willing to fight. I was seeing if you're ready for what I had up for you." And it shocked me. Church, I'm telling you, I think every one of us need violence. The kingdom suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. This thing is not going to just passively happen. Your Christian life is not passively going to develop. And I think as Christians, we need to understand we're in a fight. We are in a fight. And sometimes that fight produces pressure. We're fighting against things. We're fighting to develop. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. I love this scripture. And it's out of the Amplified. It says, "Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and spacious and broad is the way that leads away to destruction. And many are those who are entering it. But the gate is narrow, contracted by pressure. And the way is straightened and compressed that leads the way to life, and few are those who find it." Do you know, I was reading in the end of the book of Revelation, and it amazed me again how God says these people will not enter in, and he lists cowards along with murderers. I think God knows inside of us, he needs us to rise up to be what we're supposed to be, ready to throw ourselves in the middle. I'm just going to tell you, I like movies where the hero does not back down no matter what happens to him. Because I think that's the way we're supposed to, okay? I want to say this also. Part of our fight contains many, many different weapons. The Bible says this fight, or this thing that we're in, we don't fight with the world's weapons. God has given us spiritual weapons for this fight. And one of them is the prophetic. One of the reasons that Pastor Darrell can come into this church and he can read our mail without knowing one thing is because we acknowledge the prophetic gift in him. One of the things that happens in a body of believers, there are more prophetic voices that are in this church than we can imagine. But sometimes we reduce them to mere people because we see them every day. And just like Jesus' hometown, a prophet has no honor in his hometown. Sometimes we see the natural and think the prophetic can't come out of them. to think the gifting can't come out of them. One of the things that I feel like that happens with me that I try and re-encourage is that people get to know me and I know them, and they think that a lot of the things that I say are just because I know you, and we reduce the prophetic voice. But here's what Timothy says. Timothy says this: "This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight." Wow. "Keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regarding their faith." So Paul tells Timothy, he said, "Timothy, use the prophetic words over you." Do you know one of the things I love about Bill Johnson is that he says it all the time. "When I hit a place that feels pressureful, I go back to what I've written down and I read and remember the promises." Sometimes when you're in a fight, I'm going to tell you, one of the biggest tools of the enemy is to turn your lights out. He wants to hit you so hard that you don't remember anything that God has told you as a promise. He wants to turn darkness on so much in your life that you forget who you are, whose you are, and where you're headed. And I'm going to tell you, that's the time that you fight the fight and you get out the promises and you start remembering them. I've done it multiple times. "Father, I don't understand what's going on, but you said this is going to be an apostolic work. Father, you said this. You said this. I don't, right now I can't see it. I don't know where we're going, but I'm still in the fight because I'm fighting for this prophetic thing that you've given me." And their weapons. Paul told Timothy, he said, "Timothy, get in a fight with the prophetic." I'm just going to tell you this. I heard it the other day. A religious guy going, "Well, you know, those people follow that prophetic stuff and Bethel and all those people, they because they're all chasing a word for themselves." Big deal. I want a word. You ever have a word for me, you come and give it. I don't just live off of those words all the time. And if none come, I'm still in the fight. But your prophetic word to me helps me to know where to punch and how to punch. I have people come and tell me, "Pastor Bob, I saw this. Pastor Bob, I saw this." And I use them. I pick up those things and I use them like a sight to scope in. I know something's going on. I know, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Thank you for that word. Thank you for that word. I receive that word. I value the prophetic in every one of you. And because I value it, I open the door for that prophetic to come in and to be given to me. And man, I'm telling you what, I don't know where I'm shooting sometimes. In this fight, you give me a prophetic word and my sights hone in. And all of a sudden I go, "There you are, there you are." And I blast the enemy. Boom. I trash that thing that's holding me back. I use the prophetic things. I'm going to tell you another tool, and this might not seem like a tool when I say it, but I'm going to tell you it's a powerful tool. And it's the fear of the Lord, using the proper fear of the Lord. I'm going to ask you this because I always do this. Does God want you to be afraid of him? Absolutely not. Does he want you to come to him knowing that he loves you and that he's for you and that he has never given up on you and you will never outfail his grace? Does he want you to do that? Absolutely, all the time. Then how can that word, the fear of the Lord, it's used over and over, not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament. How can the fear of the Lord be a weapon? Well, I'm just going to be honest with you. When I was playing football, I got pulled off the field one time. I had my position threatened for one reason, because I backed away from hitting a guy. I backed away. My coach saw it. I wimped out. I saw the guy coming towards me, and I did one of these. My coach saw it big as Texas. And I got pulled out of that position for during that practice, and somebody else got in there. And do you know what made me to where I was willing to go out there and now take a hit? The fear of losing that position. See, the fear of the Lord isn't being afraid of God. It's that you become aware of the consequences of where you're headed if you don't change that thing. Because I'm going to tell you, I have not changed or submitted myself to God because I was so in love with Jesus. I submitted first because I didn't want to miss out on heaven and what God has for me. You say, well, Pastor Bob, is that healthy? It's absolutely healthy. Do you know why I don't do stupid stuff in a car? Because I want to? Really badly? Because I fear the repercussions. You know why I don't drive 120 down the road in our Beamer? Because it'll do her.
Anymore.
And Miss Marcia, I don't even know what you're talking about. Because there's a policeman, and he'll write my name on a little piece of paper, and it's going to cost me a lot of money. I watch a channel on YouTube called Soft White Underbelly. That's kind of a weird name, isn't it? But this guy was a photographer, and he started going down into the inner cities, and this is where he started photographing. And his photography led to him doing interviews with people. And if you get on the channel, he does 30-minute interviews, and he's interviewing a prostitute. And in the next one, he's interviewing a pimp. The next one, he's interviewing somebody who is addicted to crystal meth. And the next one, this guy is in a gang. And the next one, this guy was in a gang. This guy's a mob boss, and these are people that he has had an inroad with, and he interviews them, and he talks to them. And this guy is making a significant amount of money from this and from his photography, and he's pretty good at it, and he's making money. And so he said this on an interview with Joe Rogan. He said, so I started taking money and I started going down into where the homeless people were here in Los Angeles or in California. And I started wanting to help them. And he said, you know, one thing I found out is this. So after years of all of this, the people that I pour the most time and most money in usually are the ones that increase the least. And the people that don't have a lot of help get out of where they are the ones that get out of where they are the most. And he said, I found this out. Money and time don't help. But what helps is if somebody's willing to fight through and out of where they are because they don't like the circumstances. That's the fear of the Lord. That's not a bad thing. If I make every decision that I make based on where this is going to end me up, my decision process changes a whole lot. In myself, I would do this action and this action and say this and say this. But because I don't want the repercussions, not only spiritually but naturally, I have chosen to restrain myself from doing and saying those things. Sometimes people, this is why I don't want us to give up on people. Because sometimes people need to eat of the worst. Because they need such a bad taste in their mouth that the thought of going through what seems fun or seems good is not good because of the bad taste that it's going to leave them in their mouth. Drugs and alcoholism, There, we don't condemn people over them, but sometimes people need to eat enough of the bad of them for them to want out. No money or no amount of time will help until those people decide they're going to double their fist. And when you double your fist, here's the deal. I know you can get free when you don't know Jesus, but Jesus can set you free, but he needs you to double your fist. Otherwise, if he set you free when you were still in agreement with drugs and alcohol, he'd violate your free will. I do believe that there's a fight out of it. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge in a controlled and purposeful way. Sometimes our lack of understanding leaves us vulnerable to be deceived. I don't read and study because I'm afraid God won't like me. Because I'm afraid he won't approve of me. I study because he bought me off the auction block one time. Paul said this. He said, I fear lest after I preach to others, I myself become a castaway. I don't read and study because I want to gain God's approval or I want him to like me. I read and study because I know that there's a place up ahead of me that I need to swing. I need to punch. I need to be accurate. I need to be built up. I need to know my weapons. And that's why I read and study, not to gain his approval. I need knowledge bad. And I need understanding and wisdom. I think it's healthy to know this. No, I don't want you scared of the devil. You have more power in one word than the entire enemy has in all their force. But I will say this. When you sin, or you open the door to the enemy to gain access to your life, is that bad for me to say that? No. It's healthy. It's healthy to know that you can be shipwrecked if you don't make the right decisions and you don't treat your spiritual life as the most precious and valuable thing. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't restrain from walking away from God because I'm afraid that he'll dislike me. I don't want to because I know where it's going to lead me. And I know this, I started here in a mess, and I have spent my life submitting to hard things, agreeing with things like, Bob, your wife's not the problem in your marriage, you are. Bob, your wife's mouth isn't the problem, yours is. Bob, you have unforgiveness and you need to forgive. I don't want to hear those things. They're very hard to hear, but when I submit to them, then the freedom that comes. If I don't submit to them and I continue in bitterness and unforgiveness, the enemy gains a place in me and I can't even trust my own thoughts because my own thoughts are distorted because they blame her. Do you know, I look back now and I think, how in the world did you ever think that? Well, I know how. I'd given place to the enemy through unforgiveness. And that enemy had a place. I mean, he was right here in the house. I'm not going to get into the exact logistics of it. But I'm telling you what, his voice was really loud. And it seemed like it was true when he told me that I had made a mistake marrying my wife. It seemed real. I look back on it now and I go, how? God put us together miraculously. How would I, it seemed real. You got tricked, Bob. I thought this for a while. You know what it stemmed in? The enemy was in my life. And the enemy's voice had access to mine. And I'm just telling you, church, if it was not for God's mercy and grace, those things would have carried me away. When you see me worship, it's because I am so thankful that Jesus did set me free and Jesus has brought me through. And while I was stupid, he still loved me. He still had grace on me and he still was working on my behalf. And he told me he would never let the enemy overtake me. While he was exposing things, he'd never loosen his hand and his grip on me. And that's why I worship, because I see how I should have been taken away many, many, many times, but he wouldn't let me. See, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of being wise and knowing how to handle it. Go ahead, Sherry.
The Holy Spirit spoke this to me, and I'm going to go back just a little bit, but I do feel like it was towards the end of the message as an exoneration. The name of this message is Now It's a Fight, and it takes courage to fight. But I heard the word encourage, and I really feel like this, I don't know if I was talking to Nelly or you or whoever, there's new people that are starting to even come and be involved here. And I really felt the Holy Spirit strongly say it takes, like, encouragement is a part of the prophetic. It very much is. And we talked about this previously before the live of advocating for that. He talked about it here, how important it is to fight the good fight and for us to encourage others, especially even new ones that are coming along, because it seems to be like when we fight for freedom here, we really do. We fight against everything that's religious. Absolutely. So for you to stick here, it's not an easy feat to stick and stay in here. And because you're going to be challenged out there. That's against the rules. You don't get to do that. You know, you don't get to come and just be free in Jesus until you accomplish this or until you are this way, you know, in this package. And we don't do that here. Just saying that. Yep. And so I feel like the Lord said this to say, some of you have in your gift, you're good at reaching out. You're good at, we're going to call it, if we want to put it in a box, evangelism. But you don't need to be in a certain personality to reach out to somebody else. Nope. But let's encourage each other. And the scripture, I just looked up a few scriptures on encouragement. It says this, some people are hurting. They don't know how to get past the thoughts in their mind. And they need somebody else to come alongside, and like Paul said in Galatians, to bear one another's burdens. Yep. So it doesn't mean you're going to do all the thing. I know people like been in addictions. You can't carry that for them, but you can encourage them. You can be that little bit of light along the way. Never carry, because Paul goes on and says, but each man must bear his own load. So just bring that little tidbit. You never know that one spark. Some of there are people that are hurting right now that aren't even able to be here physically today. And I know that. And so they just need that little bit of encouragement. Now, things aren't going to fall through. God is with you. So here's a scripture. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Because Paul previously is talking about the dark things that are going on. So encourage one another. It's important. This is another one. If you want to use it for encouragement, it says in Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned in the flames. You will not be set ablaze. That means you're going to get through this. Bad things are going to try to happen to you. They are all of us. We're going to float down that river of pain sometimes. But everybody is here to help each other. That's why the gifts are so significant. Let's encourage one another and let's start reaching out. I feel like this is part of the Lord saying this is part of a rebuild that we're doing here, is to start reaching out. You might be in the house, out of the house, reaching out. You might be the one that's, if you're reaching out to bring somebody new, you are a part of the discipling. Jesus didn't say go win the lost. He said make disciples. Disciples. We hear this hammered out, win the loss. It's like, I'm going to hook them in and I'm going to put them on my belt because I want them. No, I'm going to mount them on the wall because they're my deer that I just caught. And I'm not slamming deer hunters. That's my trophy. No, make disciples, which means, Caleb and I have been talking about this quite a bit. With a rabbi, every one of you are, like Andrew read, every one of you have an ability to teach something.
Absolutely.
Just share your testimony. That's teaching something. That's like encouraging. Mm-hmm. So the rabbis, they went along with them making disciples. They lived with them.
Yep.
You know, it might take a little bit of extra effort, but here's the last thing I'm going to say. I heard the Holy Spirit say this to me when I was sitting there. It's better to give than to receive.
Sure.
We live in a nation sometimes that's self-absorbed and like this is where entitlement comes from. We just want to take. And there's a time that it is okay for you to take because you're hurting. But when we've been given so much, let's reach out. Let's reach out and make maybe our lives, we bring somebody into our lives that's not uncomfortable with our little tight schedule and our little agendas. again, not slamming organization, but just saying, it's not always comfortable. We've had people live with us in our home. It's not always comfortable. We've made a discipleship a real thing in our life. I know some of the other ones of you have. Reach out. The Holy Spirit is just saying that. Reach out. Encourage one another. Help add the courage to the mix. Add the courage to the group. Add the courage to the community. Amen.
Fight for someone. No greater love hath any man than he laid down his life for his friend. So I want to say this, a couple things. Have you about our choices of what we're doing? Even what she said. I sometimes talk about the defensive choices, but sometimes the offensive choices. The Lord wants to know where we're going with them. Have you ever thought about that? Did you ever hear what would be the concerns if you could time travel and go in the past? Well, the one thing is, but if I make a choice there, I could radically change the whole future, right? If I go in my past, how do I know if I do this or make this decision or choice that it doesn't radically change my whole future? How do I, or someone else's whole future? Well, let's think of it this way. You're in the past right now of your present life. And how radically can one choice right now change you and someone else's whole future? Isn't that a good thought? I'm in my past of the next 2 years ahead. My choices right now mean something. How radically could I change my life and someone else's by simple choices, by simple actions? Isn't that good? I love this. I saw Therina put it up on her timeline on Facebook the other day, but I love this picture. I love this saying. It's not the violence that sets a man apart. It's the distance he's prepared to go. You know, sometimes we do in the natural get all fiery and think, I'm going to do this. But you know what? When I look at that situation, does that situation know that I'm in it for the long haul? I ain't backing away. I ain't giving up. I'm not moving. I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm right here, and I'm willing to go toe-to-toe at any point. See, it's not the violence, the immediate little spark that sets men apart. It's the distance that they're willing to go. You in it for the long haul, church? I mean, are you ready to double up your fist and go through whatever it takes?